Hello, ladies and germs. Welcome back to another episode of The Trilzerian Show. Now, I'm here with the founder of Green Strength, Lucius Christopher Tyree. Did I say that right?
The fourth.
The fourth.
You nailed it, man.
Nice. That's good. Stuff. Awesome. You're getting up here. What time in the morning do you start? You start at like 5 in the
morning. Man, I'm either here at about 8:30 or I'm up here at 6. Mm-hmm. So it's one or the other. I'm always usually most days working with somebody privately, like 6 or 7 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning. And then if I'm up here, I'm usually teaching one of the groups. Mm-hmm. So I'm always up early. I can't really sleep late anymore. Mm-hmm. I just got to get out and start walking, moving, doing something. Mm-hmm. So I don't really like early rising.
Right.
It's just kind of adapted to it.
That's what you do, yeah. Because it's what's going to make you an optimal human being.
For sure.
So what does like this first 60 to 90 minutes of your day look like?
Man, it's usually, most of the time it's pretty rushed in the morning. I'm usually getting up, making some coffee, getting some clothes on, heading straight to the gym mm-hmm. or heading out to a client's house. During that time, I'm always able to move. So within the first 60 to 90 minutes of my day every day, I'm doing some sort of feel-good movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the floor, moving around, doing some yoga stuff, or I'm getting into training, which always starts with moving around anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually train in the morning for sure, and then I kind of do lighter stuff in the afternoon. So 60 to 90 minutes is always I'm getting up, getting out, and getting moving right away.
Yeah.
I wish I had more of a writing practice in the morning mm-hmm. or 10-15 minute meditation, mm-hmm. and that's just something that I need to plug in myself.
But it seems like you find time throughout your movement, throughout your day, to work that meditation in or that mindfulness into almost everything that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, training is meditation,
mm-hmm.
And that again, we can go down a rant on that. I mean, I mm-hmm. think a lot of people don't understand that.
Mm.
You know, I don't. Talking to you or somebody like talking about strength during a workout doesn't bother me, but a lot of people will come up and just start talking to you during a workout or talking mm-hmm. about something else, and it's yeah. like, no. All that stuff I've been trying to teach you about connecting to the ground and feeling your feet and pulling your shoulders back and getting into the optimal posture and controlling mm-hmm. your breath takes attention.
Yeah.
And I'm in my head right now. Don't mm-hmm. mess with it. So
yeah.
I think I do find a very good way of like getting inside my head in those movement times.
Mm-hmm.
That's why walking is probably one of my favorite things. I love to just go out and walk and just sometimes with no music or a good podcast or something.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
any time like that is just meditation in itself. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean,
100%.
You're right. I'm mm-hmm. meditating all the time.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of the people that I've interviewed, maybe they don't have like time that they set aside in the morning, like the 15, 20 minutes. But as soon as their day starts, they're being mindful in everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
When you're making your cup of coffee, I bet you're thinking about how much you're going to put in there to get this amount of coffee to
For
get
sure.
this effect later on.
Well, and I'm proving the point. Three of us right now, we probably all do some sort of stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we think about it or not, we end up moving. We're like, okay, coffee's
yeah.
brewing, stretching out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, we're being healthy. We're moving in our body. We're mm-hmm. we're moving in our mind,
yeah.
and trying to keep those movements good, trying to keep those thoughts good,
mm-hmm,
and it all comes back to the same thing.
Absolutely. Do you have any like new beliefs, ideas, practices that have influenced your life lately? Any like one thing, two things that you've recently added in?
Yeah, nutritionally, kind of as we were talking about with mm-hmm. the intermittent fasting mm-hmm. and you know, lower carbohydrate, cyclical, ketogenic type diets and things.
Mm-hmm.
They've become really popular again, and they're kind of hitting the mainstream, so everybody's doing it, so it's hard to talk about. But
mm-hmm.
I'm finding that, like, the number one thing with science on nutrition and all of this is the effects of stress. The effects of stress are the real killer
mm-hmm.
in everything. And so overtraining can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Eating the wrong types of foods can be stressful to the body. Having the wrong type of thoughts can be stressful. So we know that the body doesn't differentiate physical stress and mental stress, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stress.
Yeah.
So again, we got to get outside of our ego and start to look at that whole lifestyle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a better athlete, which is essentially making a better human being, we've got to start closing those 1% gaps all the time in all those things. And nutritionally has been a big thing because everybody's always asking dietary questions and if they can have my help or this or that. And I was just talking about this yesterday, and it's really, this is kind of the answer. This, and tell me what you think on this.
Sure.
But to me, it's like, can you help me with diet? Well, here's how I'm going to help you. Eat real food. Like, check out something like the Whole 30, where it gives you literally a list, a nice, I could download a, make a green strength list, but I mean, the Whole 30 did it beautiful. It's just 30 days of real food. Start there, but don't just focus on 30 days. Just when you're eating real food 80, 90% of the time, then we can actually start talking about nutrition. But if you're eating four meals a day and they're all four not optimal, the my like real advice that you would pay me for or the real advice that's logical is let's start with one of those meals, good, three bad. You know, and oh, you pat you on the back. Now let's work to two.
We have to build a foundation.
So exactly. So everybody who's asking dietary questions or wanting to jump to an extreme, because, hey, I'm thinking about trying that ketogenic. Hold on. You're not even eating real food consistently yet, but you're going to eliminate a complete macronutrient. Like, you don't even know how you would feel or how much fat you'd lose and how much weight you would lose or how with real food. But now we're completely eliminating a third of our macronutrient profile. Like, you're not going to have an understanding of your body at all. You're just going to jump back and forth from extremes. So first, everybody's got to learn to eat real food. And then I think the second thing is, now that fasting has become such a hot topic, there's a lot of science out there, and they're really starting to show you. I don't know if you guys remember, you're a little young for this maybe, but like the bodybuilding world back in the day had everybody so scared that if you don't have consumed protein every 2 hours, like you will shrivel away. Dude, I was waking up in the middle of the night, you know, having shakes, and... That's part of another story I can tell you. It's kind of funny, but it's good. We'll get back to that. But, you know, they scare you with all this stuff. And then the research really shows that, like, no, you could fast 16, 20 hours a day, whatever. Like, you're not going to lose muscle. And a lot of times, these rats and things are gaining lean muscle mass. And they're gaining, you know, life, you know, lifespan. And health and all these parameters are changing. So take that back to the regular person. If Panda's asking me how she should eat, well, first, Panda's got to eat real food. We know that. That's how a human being is supposed to eat. Okay, let's get her there. Now, what's your schedule? When do you want to eat? What works best for you? Because what would suck is if she likes to not eat for the first 4 to 6 hours of the day, just drink coffee, get to work, get stuff done, then have a nice lunch, early afternoon snack, nice dinner, snack before bed. That's how she likes to eat. It'd be optimal for her. And I'm like, no, Panda, I need you to wake up, okay, 5 minutes earlier so that you can make this shake, and then you're doing this. You're not enjoying these meals, and you're placing them in at stressful times. So now we're creating stress, and then we're not even enjoying them as much. So it's like, let's make sure, now we got to follow principles. We still have to make sure that she's eating real food. We have to make sure that she's, if she's putting them back to the end of the day, we still got to meet the caloric demands of her work. And that's where people fall off on this. So you and I, we do a lot of moving. We got to eat a lot of food if we push it back. But the overall thing is, how many meals fit your lifestyle? Let's put your calories into those three meals at the right times, at which fits you well, and life will be much better. It's really become a thing with clients that I've worked with. Like, people find freedom. They find how they can be intuitive and learn that their body starts to send them the right signals. Like, oh, I kind of know that I've been training hard. I know I need some starch in my diet today. I know I need a little bit more calories by the way I feel. I've gone hungry. I've gone full. I've played with the distances of time, and I've found what make me feel best, what keep me happy. And if I'm stressed out over not getting a meal in or stressed out trying to get a meal in, that's just not, it's no fun.
You know? Exactly.
So, and it doesn't cost muscle. I've been doing DEXA scans. We've got a DEXA scan, which is like the highest standard in body fat measurement. I've been doing DEXA scans all the time. I get blood work every 4 months mm-hmm. for the past 8 years on all this stuff. So I've tried all these different diets and monitored body fat, blood work, hormonal profile, all those things. And really, when I came back to eating earth-grown nutrients and doing mindful movement and being real mm-hmm. and not buying into all the supplements and BS, the results, everything went up.
Yeah, sure.
For sure. I believe it. Yeah. But the first question's always, what do you mm-hmm. take? What yeah. supplement? What protein? Mm-hmm. It's like, man, just Panda's grass-fed cow over there. Yeah, is what we need to be eating. Mm-hmm. Fruits yeah. and vegetables and nuts and seeds yeah. and, yeah, from the earth.
Absolutely. That's the only way to do it, really. I mean, that's the only sustainable way.
Yeah.
The more we get into, like, supplementing and eating crap, it's just not going to work.
You're just making somebody money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, you're just buying in. So you're fasting, you said, like 20 hours of the day. That's uh-huh. a little bit on the extreme side of fasting, right? I mean, yeah. most people with the intermittent fasting are doing like 16 hours.
Usually they're doing like a 14 to, yeah, like 14-10 or 16-8 mm-hmm. Is usually, most of them follow that Lean Gains protocol, leangains.com. He kind of, Martin Berkman, broke out a bunch of stuff on that way mm-hmm. back in the day. So a lot of people follow that. I would think a lot more than a 24-hour fast mm-hmm. or like a one day a week. People mm-hmm. like to be able to eat something, it seems like.
Yeah.
So most of them, when the Bulletproof Coffee came out, they just started doing that type of fasting, which is just mm-hmm. holding off for a couple of hours in the morning. But you're seeing that trend a lot more.
Yeah, sure.
It's happening.
Mm-hmm. Intermittent fasting, people aren't scared of the thing that people are talking about
right,
now. Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
And it's a good thing, but I like I said, I think people just underestimate, like, especially fighters and mm-hmm. trainers and guys who are moving a lot. Mm-hmm. One, you got to be conscious. Like, I know based on experience, like, I know my limitations. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I'm trying to do 3 crazy-ass workouts in a day, there's going to be some supplementation. There's going to be some things that are happening. Or mm-hmm. I got to get deep into my mind and suffer through some uncomfortable time. Like, yeah. it's not optimal for that mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. if I was just doing some strength training in the morning and then a yoga class in the evening or something mm-hmm. like I could hold off all day. It's not yeah. nothing really robs mm-hmm. me. I'm drinking a lot of water, I feel good, I'm not having to worry about food. Then when I'm done with the day and I can just kick my legs out, I can actually enjoy a lot of food. Mm-hmm. But the hard thing is making sure that people understand, like, calories matter. They've mm-hmm. got to get their fuel in.
Sure.
And it's hard. The more they start to fast mm-hmm. the less they start to eat.
Right. Yeah.
And they shrivel away. Mm-hmm. So,
which you can't do. You have to balance, like we talked
for
about
sure.
at the beginning of the podcast.
For sure.
So since everyone is asking you about your supplementation, what are, like, some of the things that you'll supplement in whenever you are getting those 3 crazy-ass workouts in the day? Are you doing, like, BCAAs or
I used to do BCAAs for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of pro and con on mm-hmm. them, to be honest with you. There's yeah. I've seen the science on both sides, and mm-hmm. I kind of agree with both sides. It's like one of those things, mm-hmm. you know. I'm kind of at the point now where when things are science, like, when I believe in the placebo effect almost more than I believe in actual science. Mm-hmm. I believe in the power of our mind. We're able to trick ourselves into whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of sure. the time, based on my blood work and things that I'm looking at, when I was ingesting BCAAs, the thing that made me feel better was actually the different taste, the different feeling of, like, something, you know, yeah. like a blue raspberry or something. It's like, oh, the BCAAs are kicking in. Well, come on, dude, I just took a sip.
Yeah.
Like, they're not kicking in right now. How does that get you to the next set? And that, right. you know, like, let's go back. They're not really doing anything mm-hmm. that fast anyway. So
it's all mental.
It is all mental. Mm-hmm. But now, things like lemon water mm-hmm. with sea salt and getting some electrolytes in and getting sodium levels back up. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, natural, like, doing things like that, putting lemon and lime and, mm-hmm. and things and raising the acidity levels of water. Throughout the day, I'll do a lot of bone broth and things like that. Mm-hmm. So if there's a time when, you know, avocado, bone broth, mm-hmm. again, I'm just going back to, like, super gut healthy, good nutrient dense foods mm-hmm. that are not very heavy, mm-hmm. you know, berries, things like that. I'm not going to eat a steak in the middle of the day.
Word.
You know, yeah. if I'm hungry, I'm going to have some berries, maybe an avocado, mm-hmm. have a cup of bone broth or something, and then later on I'm going to smash
yeah.
big protein, fat, vegetables, all that stuff.
Word.
So.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. And you still feel like you're able to put in the highest quality work that, you know.
I feel better personally, really? But it's individual. Mm-hmm. Like there's some people that I know, like I tell them to eat first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. you know, based on how they feel, but I feel better. Mm-hmm. I just don't like to, like right now, I'd be like, if I had to go cook a lunch and then I'll want to sit down for 20 minutes after eating that lunch and let it digest, I'm ready. I'll just stay going.
Yeah.
I'll just keep my day going. I keep my movement going. Mm-hmm. I keep from one workout to the other, one person, client to the other, one mm-hmm. task. And then at the end of the day, I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's turned into relax mode. Mm-hmm. Relax mode is refuel mode. Mm-hmm. And there's good feelings personally. I like that serotonin type of rush after a giant meal at night that just leaves you better rested. Yeah. So I get better sleep, so I'm finding my sleep is improved by the way that I eat. And if I eat the other way, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more stressed out, and my sleep is not as good because I'm a little bit more stressed out. Mm-hmm. So just have to find what intuitively has worked for me.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
I've taken it more like intuitive eating now. I just personally, like, well, I was experimenting in with like intermittent fasting, as we mm-hmm. all have done or do, but then I started finding I just like to get moving throughout my day and completely avoid. There's something also that makes sense. It's like you've got to earn your food. You've mm-hmm. got to get out in the day and get things done, which
I
is
like that.
You know, and then you feast. And I find the mindfulness practice we're all after. Mm-hmm. It seems like everything in jiu-jitsu, everything in strength, everything in depression and overall wellness and stuff mm-hmm. seems like you've got to fight the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like there's no quick way to do anything. There's mm-hmm. You've got to go through that uncomfortable, hard time to earn something.
Exactly.
And so with food, it's kind of the same thing to mm-hmm. me. I started developing when I would like go grapple fasted or something after training and mm-hmm. doing all that. You have to really like get inside your mind and start to realize like, no, it's hunger feelings, but it's been 8 hours. Like my body can. And then also from a primal level, like mm-hmm. am I this weak?
Yeah.
Like, can I not really like man up and muster up enough ability to like control my breath, control my emotions and get in there and like physically do work?
Yeah.
Or do I have to go have a paleo bar right now mm-hmm. because my glycogen levels are low?
Right.
You know, it's like, no. Well, but the only bad thing, but it's also a good thing. When I eat, I just like to, like, everybody likes to eat big fucking meals, man. Mm-hmm. And if you wait for 20 hours and then you honor, like, somebody like Panda and I who move our ass off all the time, our caloric demands are high. So I'll eat, like, 5,000-6,000 calories in like a 4-hour window.
That's awesome.
It's pretty bad.
Great.
It's not entertaining looking. Let's say that, dude. And on my side, I love it. It looks like luxury.
Mm-hmm.
I just get big ass like oven cooking trays and stuff, and just pile all the food on there together.
Right. That's beautiful.
The way to describe it would be like everybody's typical Thanksgiving for like a 3-hour Thanksgiving mm-hmm. meal, you know? Everybody gets like 3 or 4 plates of all this food, and it's like, I ate so much food, and it's like, I just do that every night.
That's the life, living big. It goes back to like Stoic philosophy, how you'll schedule suffering so that whenever it comes around, you're like, oh, I've experienced this already.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
And a lot of it just goes back to kind of the things that we've kind of been talking about. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, to go through not eating and getting inside your mind and having to do physical activities and do them one after another where everybody's telling you you can't do it, but then you go back and you look in history and you look at science and mm-hmm. you're starting to find out all these pros and cons to it. But the real thing is just like, do I have the ability to man up and do it? Like we're talking a day-to-day thing. I mm-hmm. refuel every night. It's not like I'm not going the next day.
Yeah.
But the other side to it is beating people in physical activity
mm-hmm.
when their perception of it is completely like, people will make judgment and they'll be like, well, you need to do this. You need to eat. That's not good. And it's like, well, I'm beating you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to beat you. Mm-hmm. And I think you get that same feeling when you play around, like you go run a marathon. Like when you did that jiu-jitsu match, then you did a marathon or half marathon, was it?
Yeah.
Like the next day, it's like, I'm just literally jumping out here doing a half marathon.
Right.
So it's like one time I did a strongman against a bunch of CrossFitters. And it's like they had ice chests and they had like their bars and their drinks and their electrolyte drinks. And it's like I'm kind of just this little like hippie. It's like walking around barefoot, not eating anything. Yeah. But I know the skill of strength. Mm-hmm. And I know how to control my breath and relax my emotions throughout the day of the events between the stuff. Mm-hmm. And so with all that stuff over time, it's kind of like I'm going to out-mind master you through this.
Yeah.
And they don't understand it.
Right? They never can. Right. Exactly. My ninja.
Yeah, dude. It's like getting collar grips and shit on them. They don't even know.
They don't know
they're in the gi. It's like, it's happening. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Let's maybe get some background on Luke.
Some background.
Where you came from. Man. And how we have this physical culturist from. Here today.
Dude, I became a physical culturist by just being here in Oklahoma City. So, yeah. I moved here as a child in, 1993, I was, in third grade or something, and have been in Edmond or Norman in this area ever since, and really didn't play any sports, past baseball and stuff growing up, and I kind of stopped playing sports and stuff when I was in high school, and mm-hmm. I got into the high school things that some young boys like to do, mm-hmm. Drinking and things like that. I had a weird moment in life when I lost my father when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and that kind of set me down this few years of just getting wild and doing all that good stuff. And then I found bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we'll talk about this really fast. No, but then I got into weightlifting, mm-hmm. but it was actually bodybuilding, and I got into that kind of stuff, and I just started this journey that then became over every year, I just started finding different goals. So, to keep it kind of short, it was 2004, I got into bodybuilding, and I got up to 234 pounds. Wow. And then in 2007, I ran the Chicago Marathon at 153 pounds. And then in 2009, I did some amateur boxing. Wow. At 178 to 80-ish in that area. And then I kind of got into training jiu-jitsu and those things. But I just kind of started to do all those different things. And when I did them, I would go 100% in on them. Mm-hmm. I was interested in learning how to train others for those events and those things as well. Mm-hmm. So when I went into marathon running, I had no background in running. But it was just look, I'm going to go get a job at a running store. I'm going to surround myself with nothing but runners. I'm going to figure out how runners eat. I'm going to figure out how does the best runner eat. Mm-hmm. How do they live? How do they train? How do they do it? And I'm just going to do it. And then by doing it and living it and being real, I ran a sub, I qualified for the Boston, and the only marathon I've ever done. Yep. It's pretty badass. It's pretty good to jump right into strength competitions, mm-hmm. and do really good in those. And it just started to fascinate me. I pinpointed one thing. It was I only know one way to train, and it is the all-or-nothing lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So if you, as an inspiring jiu-jitsu guy who's coming up in the ranks doing this stuff, it's dude, you've got to model after Buchecha. You've got to model after Hajar. You got to model mm-hmm. after Galvao, Laval. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
They live it every single day. Mm-hmm. And you'll never reach that unless you just live that lifestyle, mm-hmm. and completely immerse 100%. Yourself in that. And that's kind of my philosophy now where Green Strength was born. It just became this thing of what's real? What's real food? What's real movement? Mm-hmm. What's real good thoughts? Let's put all this together and it equals real health. Mm-hmm. And so you start to look around at other systems and other gyms, and everybody's got to make money, so I'm not knocking on anybody, but are people really focused about health?
Yeah.
And wellness? Not really. And it kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. We're having to cut corners and lie to people. So as I started just playing with all that stuff, it just gave me a better foundation to be able to share experience, share expertise with it, help coach people. I feel I know how to coach marathon runners pretty well. Mm-hmm. And the things that I don't know, I lived the lifestyle, so I know some hella good runners. Mm-hmm. So I developed really good relationships in all these niches with people, so I know where I pass people off to, from the general standpoint, I just kind of went on this journey of, oh, that looks fun, gonna go that route. I'm gonna try it. You know, I suck at swimming. Like, I'm gonna hire a coach and I'm gonna learn how to swim. And then you find yourself wanting to do some crazy swim or some crazy ultra marathon, and mm-hmm. it just kind of cascades for a while until, usually for myself, I push it too hard, and I try to be the one that's going to find the limits. Mm-hmm. And so usually each one of those endeavors ends with some sort of injury that leads you to something else, because we never stop training.
Yeah.
I know you do the same thing. It's like, I hurt my knee. Dude, I'm going to be back in the gym tomorrow doing something. Mm-hmm. Something. You're not going to stop me, ever. Yeah. And but the best in the world do that, man. Yeah. Okay, these guys, mm-hmm. like Steve Maxwell is a black belt, a movement coach. He's a physical culturist, a pioneer. And he's probably, I'm not going to say his age. He's in his 60s, I would say. Hopefully he doesn't get mad. Mm-hmm. But these guys are like all above 50, and they're in incredible shape.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing it. We go back to the first thing I said. They live the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Every single day, they live the lifestyle of health practices. Like, you hear me in the mornings here trying to just get people to do hip mobility and move.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's just a common thing. We just do that. Mm-hmm. We do forward folds everywhere we can. Like, we're thinking about our posture all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're living the lifestyle. General public is not.
Yeah.
And these guys are pioneers that are in their 60s and late 50s, and they're still doing incredible stuff. But what you see is it's like they have a lifetime of grappling and for Laird Hamilton, big wave surfing,
mm-hmm.
tons and tons of crazy-ass injuries. And they just kept figuring out how to be psycho.
Yeah.
They kept figuring out, you know, like Laird was screwed up so bad, it's like, what do I do? Well, now I'm just going to start dropping weights into the bottom of this pool and going down and picking them up. You know, and carrying them around and doing exercises in the water because I'm so screwed up right now and injured, I can't do it on land. And that's interesting stuff to me, and it's been a part of my journey, because you end up finding these unconventional ways of training that, like, maybe you enjoy or maybe produce better results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, doing stuff in the pool and could be tremendous for anybody.
Absolutely.
And so I think exploring. And when you explore enough and deep enough and you injure yourself and you start to assess why, it's like, I know it was overuse of this sort of repetitive thing. And so then that kind of leads me to start thinking what my next task is. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've been doing this sort of thing for so long, now I need to add more balance back in.
Mm.
And that is where I'm kind of running off on a tangent here, but that's like where yoga and stuff has always like come back in.
Yeah.
Every time I need that mindfulness balance where I'm aware of like, I'm running too charged this direction, there needs to be better balance. It's like, take out a couple of those training sessions, take mm-hmm. out a couple of the crazy things you do and add some yoga,
mm-hmm.
add some meditation back in.
Yeah.
And you start putting that back in, then you find that, oh, now I have a balance.
Yeah.
And I feel good. So where I'm at now with playing through all that stuff and with Green Strength is about just trying to share to others to try to teach them to find their own physical balance, like mm-hmm. find their own daily things that they can do every day that they feel good and know that just doing that at least is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps you focused to do more, you know,
absolutely.
When the time is right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great stuff. And, you know, ever since I've started Green Strength, I've started to feel much better in my recovery. My mindfulness whenever I'm moving, so many different benefits. But
Green Strength is more of a movement. It's more of just like a way of life. There is no wrong training system.
Yeah.
But people screw up training systems.
Mm-hmm.
People screw up diets and things like that. There's nothing's wrong if everything is applied correctly. So Green Strength is about getting back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
It's about like real movement, real food, and real thoughts. For real health and real results. No
mm-hmm.
BS. Like, we're not trying to sell supplements and push that. We're not trying to push certain types of programs on people. And we're trying to get people to learn how to move like a human being
mm-hmm.
and then be able to express whatever it is they want with the fitness. I mean, it could be you want to run, then run.
Mm-hmm.
But learn how to run.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you're fueling yourself to run, fuel yourself with earth-grown nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no shortcuts. This is the real stuff. It's like what's from the earth and what's basic and been around
mm-hmm.
since existence is what is most efficient.
Yeah, it's what's sustainable.
And if we lose ourselves in our minds, we start looking for these shortcuts. Mm-hmm. So green strength is about just getting back to the basics. It's about eating real food, having good thoughts, mm-hmm. and training with a purpose, yeah. and training correctly, like mm-hmm. with your body's health in mind. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what green strength is.
Yeah. And I've been training with Luke for, I think, about a month now, mm-hmm. right? Working
yeah.
with him 5 or 6 days a week. And, like, my recovery time has been cut down to, like, at least half the time that it used to be. I used to just always be sore and in pain from the way I was lifting and training before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel more mindful in my movements. We're doing, like, movement classes, and all the different things that I'm doing here are different exercises that I've never focused on or been as mindful of where my body is at and how I'm using my body before. I think that's just like an invaluable element of training. Like, if you're not
totally.
Being mindful, then you're gonna find those injuries, or you're gonna totally. Not be able to do it the next day because you're too sore and all these types of things.
Yeah,
so.
And that's kind of, there's two things off of that. That one, with the, back to the green strength thing, that's kind of what green strength is. Like, there's the people that are training just as much as you,
mm-hmm.
and but they're working. They're doing things a little too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
There's those days and that, you know, they're just training too hard, and it's like, man, you're going to break down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not green strength.
No.
Being able to get inside, away from your own ego,
mm-hmm.
and know that, like, this is what, be here now, the old Ram Dass, Alan Watts,
mm-hmm.
be here now. So in that moment, right now, can you personally identify what your body truly needs? You know, and I would say somebody like Panda over here and myself, who just played so much with so many things, we kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but then there's also a part where we also have to, like, be responsible to know that, like, okay, I know that I don't need to go hard. I need to just work mitts. I need to kind of do this and move. But I also have a title fight coming up. Like, I know that I'm in that moment where I do need to push it a little bit. So you have to know how to navigate
mm-hmm.
between those, instead of just living in this hard work dedication.
Yeah.
Hard work dedication. What is your work?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest work is being able to pull back.
Yeah.
But not pull back to nothing. And a good buddy of mine, and a world-renowned yogi and newest addition to the team here,
mm-hmm.
my yoga teacher, Cameron Shane, from Budokan,
mm-hmm.
he was telling me about this, like, animal in the sea. I'm doing this bad. I hope nobody's listening. It's going to get mad at me here. It's like an octopus-type thing, right? So this thing is crawling its whole life on the bottom of the ocean, right, until it finds one place where it wants to land and chill. And when it gets there, it starts to eat its own brain to fuel itself, because it's just chilling for the rest of its life until it's gone.
Wow.
But that's what the human does too, in a way. Like, once we stop moving, our brains stop going, working, developing, whatever you want to say, whatever science you want to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't think that movement is like thinking as well, just thinking with our brain, like you moving mindfully through positions,
mm-hmm.
and constantly thinking about movement and doing these just different things that feel good have such an impact on your body, and you're feeling those.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, your hard work and dedication is you're still training the same amount of time as somebody else. But on the other hand, your training is like getting you more in touch with the ultimate vehicle that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fighter, that's an advantage. You're learning how to explore your breath more.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning all these things. It's like, you know, everybody's pretty much in cardio shape.
Mm-hmm.
They all train and roll all the time.
Yeah.
But you're kind of like, oh, you're opening your mind and your brain up to how to control your breath better,
mm-hmm.
how to push through things differently, how to recover, how to move between rounds or something instead of just sitting and hunched over.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting back to being an optimal human being. And that has, it's like a secret weapon. It's like the original samurai,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the original samurai could get into all those, let's just call it yoga positions. They could do all those positions with swords and all sorts of stuff in battle. Like, and that's what our maces and our Indian clubs and swinging kettlebells around. It's like those movements that they were doing back then.
Mm-hmm.
So these modern old samurais were just savages at yoga and strength and body movement and breath and everything. And now we want to recreate that as a human being. Mm-hmm. So we know what to do. Would the samurai eat Burger King? Hell no. The samurai eats real food.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's not even a question. So this is the stuff that I find interesting with like regular human beings. It's kind of common sense. It's like, I use a gas analogy. It's pretty stupid, but it makes sense. It's like if I had an old 5-gallon jug of gas and it's kind of old, it's just sitting in my garage. Like most people, if you're like, hey, here, I'll give you this, but you want to put it in your car? They're like, no.
Yeah.
You know, most Edmond people for sure. You're putting McDonald's in your body all the time. Like what? Where's the body you have forever, hopefully? I mean, it's your only real vehicle. You might, the car, what is this? But we care about our car more than our body. And I find that odd because, and it's 9 out of 10 people that walk in the door. You know, my knee's a little hurt, but I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I can do this workout. Well, if your tire was just slightly out of alignment when you drive out of here, what would you do? I'd go to Hibden's. And it's like, well, maybe we should work on the alignment. Like something is wrong. Your body's speaking to you, and they don't have the smart or the ability, the mindfulness, the awareness of their body to do anything about it yet. So literally I've found that my job is to start to teach people how to just become one back into themselves a little bit. And then in doing that, I found the biggest performance gains in myself and a couple of the very few who have done it. Let's say that, because there are very few people who are going to actually do everything you recommend or you try to teach them to do. It's hard to take a normal human being and try to completely change their diet, try to completely change the amount of hours and time and money they spend on soft tissue work and cryotherapy and all the recovery modalities, and then also ask them to start exploring their mind and meditating while also asking them to follow this way of training and doing it this way and lowering loads if they can't own it. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It takes a very strong person to fully do that. And I've, like, out of the few who have done it, the results, like, from DEXA scans to blood work to just performance in the octagon or mat, like, is proved. And so I think that's, like, what you're already feeling right now is, no, it's been a month. You haven't done much. You've just kind of built an aerobic base up. Instead of doing other shitty training during the week right now, four weeks before you go to war here, you've just been doing stuff that makes you feel good. And but the byproduct of it is it's actually making you in better shape. It's raising your work capacity. It's helping you recover faster. It's doing a lot of very good things to you psychologically as well. Which are making you a healthier, happier person, which is more dangerous, Troizillian samurai, whatever.
The best version of myself that I can bring to to the fight to win stage. So, yeah, thank you for helping me get there. You know,
no, this is what I love. I mean, I like people who want to. You know, I like those who are on that quest of like the mental side of things. Because if you're on that quest of the mental side of things, then you have the first and the real thing that you need, and that is the ability to say like, I'm going to drop my ego. And I'm going to do this because I believe in it. You know what I mean? And there's so many times, like, it's very hard to drop the ego and not do that stuff. You want to go this way, or somebody else is doing this. You see it on Instagram. You want to try that. It's hard.
It is.
That's what I do. I try all that stuff. And then I come back to you and I say, it doesn't work. This is why. My knee hurts. Or this is why. So, I mean, that's kind of, that is kind of my role. That's, and it's a bad role, but... Now that I'm getting older, I've got to try to find my balance.
Nice, yeah. And that's what life is all about, you know, finding the balance in between everything, you know. How many different things, how many different aspects of life are there to balance, you know, infinite.
I don't know. I'm kind of like episode one of this. Like, I want to start asking Panda how she gets through
all of that stuff.
But there are people like that.
We got some good insight on that, so go back to episode one if you want to figure out how Panda does everything.
Go back to that. She's all over the place.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. She is incredible. But so are you, you know. So I think the only thing that we hadn't touched on was, or maybe we touched on a little bit, that you trained jiu-jitsu. And I wanted to talk more about, like, how your jiu-jitsu practice started, where it's taken you. I'm sure you've met lots of cool people through that. And, you know, the jiu-jitsu world is so cool. So bring us
the
into
the jiu-jitsu world
bit.
Is about the coolest underground world there is,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
The jiu-jitsu world is gangster.
Niche world, yeah.
Yeah, so I got into jiu-jitsu, I think it was like 2005 or something, like 2004 or 5, mm-hmm. right after bodybuilding.
Nice.
That little stint. Uh-huh. I signed up at Lovato's, which was ran by Senior uh-huh. at the time, and I did like 8 months in his program there. Was more just like valet tudo style. It's like jiu-jitsu, but every class ended with hundreds of leg kicks and this and that.
Wow.
And it was fun. It was just really, it was far from me, and the drive was tough, so I kind of did my 6 or 8 months, and I went on to do some boxing, and I wish I would have stayed into it and done it. I didn't know the instruction was what it was or who mm-hmm. I was learning from or anything mm-hmm. like that. But and then it wasn't until like later on, I kind of, I've always been friends with your professor, Seth Norman, mm-hmm. and he was bouncing around at different places, and when he started a new gym, he contacted me, and I started playing around over there some, so I kind of got a little bit back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until really 2011, I started working with Rafael Lovato Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and I spent a couple years just like getting to travel all over and watch him compete, and I'm, you know, like I told you, I'm having dinner with Braulio Estima, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hanging out with Shanji and Salo Ibero, you know, it's like I'm sending text messages to Shanji. It's like, what? This is crazy.
Uh-huh.
Why do I suck at jiu-jitsu?
Right.
It's like, what is going on? 30 ADCC appearances at this table, and I realize, like,
let's
why do I still have a white belt? What is going on?
Let's take advantage of the resources around me.
In the last couple of years here, I was like, all right, I need this anyways, because I'm looking at the balance in my life and mm-hmm. the balance in my own training. So I really started to try to dive in and get more dedicated to it and mm-hmm. learn. And now it's really this last year where I found kind of a appreciation for it. I found mm-hmm. a love. Like, I actually really enjoy training when I think it used to be about really enjoying or trying to get better so that I could get to the level to get respect from mm-hmm. others or something like that. And it's like, I don't care about that now.
Mm-hmm.
This art is so cool. These people are so cool. Mm-hmm. And they seemingly understand the stuff we were talking about at the beginning
sure.
so much better because mm-hmm. these Brazilians, man, and these jiu-jitsu, they just know lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just jiu-jitsu, man, all the time.
Yeah.
And they understand that, like, real food is good and mm-hmm. real jiu-jitsu is
the only
real.
Way to fuel, you know, the intense training that we talked about.
So now I'm training. You know, I got my blue belt under Professor Rafael last year,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just having fun, man. I'm kind of the lucky person that's got friends in all jiu-jitsu areas, mm-hmm. you know. Like, I'm buddies with your professor, Seth, mm-hmm. and I've always enjoyed everything I've ever, you know, done with him.
Yeah.
It's been, God, since Crucible. You guys ever hear about Crucible?
Oh, yeah. Mike Parker.
We were there. Seth was punching me in the face at Crucible.
that's way back, guys.
And then and then Salo and Shanji Ibero, like, getting to know them has been a blessing. Like, it's they're just incredible human mm-hmm. beings, man. And it's really been educational in the sense that I've learned more about how to train others and strength training
mm-hmm.
from jiu-jitsu because of the levels. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everybody's doing jiu-jitsu,
mm-hmm.
just like everybody's swinging kettlebells.
Yeah.
But there's a difference when Shanji Ibero is teaching you jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. than some other just black belt from mm-hmm. Norman, Oklahoma.
Right.
I'm not singling anybody out in that level.
Jiu-jitsuers.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really inspired me, like, with kettlebells and all the other stuff to make sure that my game is, like,
mm-hmm.
top-notch,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, black belt and kettlebells,
sure. Right, yeah.
And I do see you as a black belt in, you know, mindfulness and strength and conditioning in being a physical culturist, you know?
Dude,
I'd say
black
belt level.
I'm a damn black belt in physical culture, yeah.
Fucking A.
I'm going to own that.
Yeah, do
for
it.
Sure.
I think you should. You've put in the work. You know, you wear that black belt with pride, for sure.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So there was one big thing that you've got on the books right now that you didn't mention yet.
Dude, I'm going to get that strap in 2018. You're putting 2018. Me out there.
I'm putting it out there. Damn, I think we should.
It just got real.
It got real.
It got real.
I think that you speak things into existence.
It got real. Okay.
Lucius yes. Tyree. What's your middle name?
Lucius Christopher Tyree the IV is going to get that. I don't even know if it's Masters 2 or Masters 3, but whichever it is.
Whichever one.
Coming mm-hmm. in 2018 for that Masters World title.
Yeah.
The IBJJF Masters Worlds.
Yeah, boy.
And you go to Vegas mm-hmm. for the first time.
You heard it here first, guys.
And win. No, that is something, though. Like, last year, it was on the list, and like I said, my training was not the same. My focus wasn't the same, mm-hmm. and mentally, I got to the point where it came right up, and I went into bitch mode, man. No, I had to, like, reassess, you know? It's like,
I've been in bitch mode before. Yeah. It's all good.
No, it makes it even better now. Because now the training is better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to miss those goals to really focus on the next one and be like, man, I know how it felt to see those other guys take my title. There's no fucking way that's going to happen this year. So
totally.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, sure. I wasn't going to go really throw down like I should in order to win. And mm-hmm. I knew if I had that in my mind that was stupid to book the ticket and go.
Sure, you know. Sure.
That's another thing. A lot, like, I was a white belt, and, like, people high up in the jiu-jitsu community knew me. I'd go to, like, these tournaments with people, and it's like, you know, the first competition I did, I was super nervous, mm-hmm. and Rafael, I had hung out with him in the garage the night before. I was, like, almost backed out, and he's like, no, come over. Let's work on one thing. He's like, you're going to do this, this, and this. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, the cross knee, knee on belly, mm-hmm. X choke, you know, yeah. classic mm-hmm. Ibero, Lovato style jiu-jitsu. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, I'm nervous as hell, and he's, like, occupied. As I'm in the bullpen, he's occupied, so I'm like, good, he's not going to coach me. And then I get out there, and I start hearing my name called, and I look back, and it's like Travis Luter and Ralph Rodriguez, like some of these guys that I'd met through Rafael.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's his first time, go, let's go, Luke. And I'm like, oh, damn. Dude, what is all these people looking at? Get away.
Yeah.
And then I hear this voice, and it's Rafael, and he's like, remember what we worked on? And I'm like, oh, crap, he's watching now, too.
Yeah.
But, the other guy sucked really bad, and nice. It all went cross knee, mount, X jokes. It worked. It was crazy.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. I can't give myself too much credit. He was terrible.
Yeah, that's like where you find the most growth, though, I think. Whenever you're like right on the verge of, fuck, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
I totally wanted to run away.
Make yourself do it. Just and like, how good did that feel to get the cross?
Yeah, it was good. Just joke, thank God he was not a... Mm-hmm. Not a game killer. Might have been a bad moment. So, but yeah, the jiu-jitsu community is something special, and I think getting to meet, you know, even those guys like yourself, who are on the journey. Mm-hmm. We were talking about other young guys, like we've been talking about Vinny, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and Vinny Sands down there in Texas. But mm-hmm. it's like guys who are just driven, and they're already looking up, and they see, okay, I'm a purple belt right now, and I'm going to do everything like these guys are doing, and I'm going to continue to go. I'm not scared to fight anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when you reach black belt status, like, you're going to be that next level black belt.
Exactly.
And it's your mindset, man. Mm-hmm. It's your ability to control your ego mm-hmm. and understand, like, no, I'm going to learn from everybody that's positively influencing my life.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to put that into my jiu-jitsu game in some mm-hmm. weird scientific way.
Yeah, because you can't learn what you think you already know. I forget you said that, someone smarter than me. But really, it's the mindset that we're talking about is something that you have to practice every day, just like your jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. techniques, you know, just like the strength and conditioning. Like, you talk about strength as a skill. You have to practice these skills every single day, or else the motherfucker that's going to stand across from you, maybe he has been practicing these every day, you know? So you better get that 1% better every single day, because you don't know, maybe they're going for 2 or 3%. Some days you better stay ahead of the curve. So,
and it's always good when, I mean, you want it, like we were talking about your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know much about him, you haven't really seen him, but like you're hoping he's game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. That's where your mind is right now. You're absolutely. Not hoping, like, a lot of people are still in that phase, even black belts. And yeah, he's a blue belt calling out black belts right now.
Mm-hmm.
But guys are like, you know, oh, I hope he's a little bit out of shape. You know, I want that ass whooping.
Right,
I want to put that ass whooping on mm-hmm. him in front of people. When it's like, no. Like, a guy like you, a guy like Vinny, it's like, I hope this motherfucker is ready to bring it.
Yeah.
And I was telling you that story about Raphael. Yeah. And I was talking to him about fighting in the cage and what his mentality is like, mm-hmm. and what he thought when what went through his mind when that cage door closed.
Yeah.
And he went off on this thing, and that's he just told me a personal story with it. But like then it's like, okay, well when you slapped hands with Buchecha, like did you feel that same thing? It's like, hell no. Like then it's like two lions looking at each other with 100% mm-hmm. respect. It's mm-hmm. like, we're about to fucking throw down.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we are going to throw down. Yeah. And there's not many sports and there's not many environments that like you get that in.
Exactly.
Jiu-jitsu brings that out for mm-hmm. sure. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's huge. Mindset is everything. So, you know, keep practicing your mindsets. Eat real food. Practice your strength and condition with mindfulness. Any last words that you have? Maybe like one message to the world. I like to, you know, put out one thing, one message that you could give to the whole world. Maybe on like a billboard where millions and billions of people would see it.
You know what, dude? I think. Did you watch the UFC fights?
Sure.
I think Thug Rose kind of like laid it out there. Like mm-hmm. that's the best message. It's just like, let's just work on being better people. I think everything we're talking about covering, being a better person to me, like to truly be a better person, like. That means I'm taking care of my body mm-hmm. by putting in good foods. That means I'm not thrashing it with exercise. I'm balancing things. Like mm-hmm. I think all of that whole holistic life picture comes into being a better human being.
Absolutely.
And so I think we're all just trying to be better human beings and get back to being a human.
Mm-hmm.
What do humans, what are they supposed to do? We're supposed to be able to move around and play and like smile and laugh and care about things, and it's like we actually have to work. We're in a time now mm-hmm. where we have to work to get that.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. So we've got to spread the message to others to just learn to enjoy themselves, learn to chill out a little bit and just move around and mm-hmm. eat better food and start to take care of themselves and their body. And I think my message would be just be the best you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like work on that daily.
I love it. Yeah.
For sure.
That's where it's at. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, man.
No problem.
Really a pleasure.
No problem. It was fun.
Talking to you, as always. You know, Luke took time out of his day for us.
This is fun.
So thank you guys so much. Thank you to all of our listeners and viewers. Subscribe. So subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. You know, share stuff. Send me questions, things that you'd like for me to cover, anything like that. I love feedback from you all. I do this for you guys. So... let me know. What do you want to hear us talk about? I'm going to have
get
Luke on a few more times.
A fight to win.
There you go.
Account. Tune in.
Yes.
November 17th.
Because it's going down.
It's coming up
mm-hmm.
as you take this dude and rip his leg off.
Exactly.
Or something. A limb off. We're coming for
some
limbs.
Some kind of limb. Maybe a face choke, you know.
Oh, it'd be great.
I forgot about that. November 17th, I'm taking that strap on the Denver Fight to Win stage. So shout out to all my Fight to Win homies. Shout out to everybody that's going to be watching on Flow Grappling. Thank you all so much. Good night and good luck.
Peace.
Peace.
Sponsor Spotlight.
We just wanted to plug Green Strength real quick. The founder of Green Strength, Lucius Christopher Tyree. Did I say that right?
The fourth.
Any nutritional or strength and conditioning needs. He is the physical culturist around here. So be sure to hit him up, pick his brain, follow him on all of his social media stuff. He shares dope shit all the time.
You guys can find me on Instagram. It's GreenStrengthIV, as in GreenStrength4. And then my website is GreenStrengthHQ.com. And you can find me there. You can reach out if you ever have any questions or anything. And holler at me.
So, yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you to my new sponsor, Hemp Connects. Really great people making organic CBD products. They've got like the chill pill that has a certain amount of CBD in a pill form. And then they've got the tincture oil that I use every day. You just drop a little bit under your tongue and it's the bomb. Like for muscle soreness, for inflammation, all of that stuff. There's just nothing better and there's no side effects. I highly recommend the CBD oil. I'm not a doctor or anything, so or take that for what it's worth. But I do train a lot and I have a lot of muscle soreness and aches and pains.
and I have a lot less of them whenever I'm using CBD oil.
Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy can be your home for self-defense tactics, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, mixed martial arts, boxing, Muay Thai, and much more. With classes throughout the day and week, we offer self-discipline with an accommodating schedule. Partake in classes for ages 3 and up. Be a part of the team with Black Belt Professor Seth Norman and Brown Belt Janie Meadows. All in all, great people. Make the change today. We're located inside of Key Health Fitness at 14701 North Kelly Avenue in Edmond, Oklahoma. Or you can call us at 405-816-7242. See you on the mats. Oss.
All right, everybody, here we go. One, two, three.
Back to Ellis Chiropractic.
My name is Dr. Jeff Ajazi. I'm a practicing chiropractor in Edmond, Oklahoma. I've been practicing for a little over 8 years. My practice is at 3560 South Boulevard, Suite 100. Come check us out. We're here to take care of you.
Back to Ellis Chiropractic.
Next, I would like to shout out the Fight to Win crew, Team No Sleep. Thank you all so much for everything you do to promote jiu-jitsu, putting on one of the best shows, in my opinion, in the jiu-jitsu world. Be tuned in on Flow Grappling, November 17th, to watch me take the title belt in Denver, Colorado.
Hey!
The 155 Purple Belt No-Gi title. I'll be fighting James Mikus and breaking his leg or choking his face.
Okay.